How does one prepare for discipleship? Hello, I'm Dave Thomas, Dean of the School of Theology. This is The Good Word, a weekly dialogue on some kind of biblical topic. This quarter, this whole quarter, we are talking about the subject of discipleship, beginning with the experience of Jesus and then leading on down through history, even coming to our own time. I'm happy to have two conversation partners again, Larry Vivoka, a colleague from the School of Theology, and Daryl Bigger, also a colleague from the School of Theology. And gentlemen, today we are going to talk about what it means to prepare, or how one goes about preparing to be a disciple or for discipleship. Clearly, people are not born as disciples. They become disciples. They develop into disciples. I'm wondering if there are any things that we can do in anticipation of becoming disciples. What does the process of preparation for discipleship look like? And maybe we can start our discussion by looking at Ephesians, the fourth chapter, which talks about the goal of discipleship being the reaching of maturity, but also it includes a number of elements there, I think, that make for a growth process. I wonder if you have any commentary on the developing or the development of discipleship.
Oh, in terms of Ephesians 4?
Yes, or even beyond that, if you like.
Well, I think of my own growth as a follower of Jesus, and I think of the role that people, different people, have played in that process. My initial vision of what kind of person God must be was provided by a pastor who I think reflected the total, accepting, unconditional, loving nature of God. And that had an incredible impact upon my response to his message. And then I can sort of look down through my own developing process and see those individuals who, by their life and by their witness, by their teaching, have shaped my understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So I personally have needed the presence and witness of individuals who have made progress in their own development as Christians, as disciples, to then model that for me, to then encourage me, to give me. It's, I guess for me, a lot of my personal growth as a follower of Jesus has come from what I would call imitative learning.
So it's not just so much the teachings that you heard, but the way you saw them lived out or practiced.
Well, I think the two go together. I can't see them really being separated, because when one, it doesn't take long for us to, I think, see incongruity between what one professes and what one actually does. And it's that incongruity that is so despairing. When a searcher experiences it in,
otherwise known as hypocrisy, maybe.
Yeah.
Larry, I mean, Daryl, do you have any thoughts on the development of disciples?
Well, the whole notion of maturity that Ephesians talks about brings to my mind the development of a human being from prenatal growth through birth and childhood, those various stages that we go through as we're growing up. In many ways, becoming a disciple relives many of those stages. We have to go back to learning very simple, fundamental things that more mature people would take for granted. And we memorize things that are important foundations, touchstones to development of more creative thought and approaches later on. And it's a process that is long-term, not short-term. I think for us to assume that we're going to rush to that with a few easy decisions or commitments is foolishly ignoring the reality of how that kind of development takes place.
So what would you see as elements in the early stages of development of a disciple? Are there any that we should particularly notice at the beginning point?
I think it's very important for us to recognize, as we would with learning, and Larry knows more about learning theory than I probably, as a former classroom teacher in high school, but I think we need to recognize that concrete thinking precedes abstract thinking.
Mm.
So just to memorize and learn the basic fundamental facts about who God is and who we are and how that relationship was broken and how it is to be restored, those are important early developmental stages of a disciple.
Mm-hmm. Larry, what do you think about the early stages of being a disciple?
Well, one thing that occurs to me, my experience is that of a child growing into faith. And for me, I think I needed to have some sort of experience with the numinous, with the divine, with God's breaking in a way that I could be then convinced that what I've been hearing and what I've been seeing in people and what people have been pointing to is very real and concrete and therefore trustworthy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was very important to me, and it's a rather foolish story that is my initial excursion into faith. But I really am convinced that God is willing to do extraordinary things like that with children because of the lifelong consequences mm-hmm. of those very initial experiences in
Absolutely.
Faith.
Absolutely.
For an adult learner, someone who is being confronted by the gospel
as an adult,
I think the process may well be different. It may be more persuasion. I'm hearing that which I think is true, given my mm-hmm. perception of the world and my experience. And therefore, it follows. It makes sense. I can accept that. Or why haven't I seen or understood that before? I mean, it's a different sort of a process.
And it seems to me that all of us would agree that when dealing with people in the early stages of discipleship, there ought to be a lot of patience and charity extended.
Mm-hmm.
They're likely to make some mistakes, which we probably made in the early stages of discipleship. What about middle stages? Can we talk about a middle stage? Is there such a thing as middle stage? I think the goal is maturity, and we need to reflect on the mature stage as well.
Mm. One of the challenges that I think many Christians face is the transition between a more concrete, specific, experience-oriented faith to a less tangible one that accepts Christ even without the demonstrations of it. I'm struck with a book about miracles in which the author says that the more faith we have, the less we need miracles to believe in God.
Wow. Yeah, and it's interesting that that miracles that Jesus wrought oftentimes were right at the initial stages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that backs up what you're saying, Larry. Sure. That early on we need those affirmations.
I see the Beatitudes as a kind of progression from the initial stage to one which would be at the level of maturity. The initial stage one recognizes is her own spiritual poverty, the need for something better, for something more, that sense of conviction that what I have or what I'm doing is incredibly inadequate and is causing pain or hurt to me, to those I love. It's causing pain, hurt to the environment. I need something more different. And that progression that goes from that genuine heart sorrow for my condition to the experience of hungering, thirsting for something better, beginning to find that, discover that, appropriating that in one's life, to the kind of then transformation changes that happen as we become more merciful and single-minded in our want and wish to be consistent with the will of God, to the point that our faith matures and God now, instead, our faith has developed to the point where God now trusts us, puts his faith in us to be a witness to the truth about him and the most difficult circumstances, which you see being pointed out when we are maligned for our faith and are the recipients of persecution and difficulties.
So the marks of reaching maturity would be what? And that the whole system of belief is highly internalized and it's not relying on the activity of other people.
Well, I agree. I would think that that is the case. It has a kind of unshakable nature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because you read the disciples very quickly ran into all kinds of opposition, and I think you would agree that in this day and age the disciples of Christ should not anticipate anything different.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Well, what about this business of Jesus sending disciples out two by two? What does that do for the growth process? Any ideas?
Companionship is a great comfort and teacher to us. I've learned a lot from people I've worked closely with and continue to learn a lot from the wife I live with, for example. And without bumping up against another person, there wouldn't be that opportunity to see areas in which I could make improvement. So in that way, it's helpful to me.
To say nothing of the courage of two is far greater than the courage of one.
Of course, yeah.
The very process of going two by two, though, it, in a sense, is somewhat disarming to the person who is being approached.
Oh.
And particularly, I think we've learned when the two are male and female, there's something very disarming about that. And
now I'm intrigued by the resources Jesus gave to his disciples compared to the resources that we concern ourselves with. We are interested in money and buildings and other such visible things, and he pretty much told them not to worry about those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also intrigued by the fact that Jesus had some very challenging teachings, particularly in places like the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, when he talks about the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, that they don't concern themselves with their survival, and yet they do well. And yet we worry about the work of God being accomplished, and it's highly dependent on us. So. Anyway, I appreciate your comments here, seeing discipleship as a growth process, and we ought to be patient with ourselves and with each other, and yet persistent to make sure that we allow the Holy Spirit a place to work in us, that we can grow through the stages. I suppose the biggest tragedy is for a disciple who is stricken by a form of infantile paralysis, but hopefully that won't include us. My thanks to Larry and Darrell for their opinions and participation today, and our thanks to John Campbell, our engineer, and our thanks to you, the audience, for listening. For the Good Word, I'm Dave Thomas.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.